the best time of the year.
Is it? That's right, it's our Christmas special episode.
Yeah.
And today we are drinking a lovely vegan eggnog.
Yay.
Yeah.
Ew.
No, shut up.
It's nice.
I've never had eggnog before, but this is surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Surprisingly
I'm
good.
Not the biggest fan of eggs, and Nikki is vegan. So we decided to go against the traditional recipe, and we've used a nice almond milk and some other kind of vegan alternatives. And yeah, it's very tasty.
Not bad, not bad.
Cardamom, bit of cinnamon, bit of nutmeg.
It's cozy.
Yeah.
But otherwise, sorry, why would you use it with eggs? That sounds disgusting.
Vegan superiority.
No, but seriously.
With egg whites in them.
Oh, true, true, true.
So, yeah.
But yeah, no, that's what we're drinking, and it's very nice.
Yeah. Super tasty. And very Christmassy.
Yeah.
What's everyone's favorite Christmas song? Mine has to be The Pogues.
Oh, no, mine is Last Christmas, definitely.
Really?
Definitely Last Christmas. I love the video.
Love a bit.
Isn't it absurd that George Michael, he's celebrating Christmas with his ex?
Yeah.
And in the same time, she's there also with her current boyfriend, and they're all the time jealous of each other. And he's remembering last Christmas that he was spending with her. And they're in some like resort, which seems like they're in Switzerland or somewhere, like super expensive.
Lots of fake snow. Well, it might be real snow, to be fair. Maybe they had a budget to actually go to like Val Thorens or something.
Mm.
Yeah.
Have either of you guys ever worked? Well, Izan, you've worked in retail.
Uh huh.
Supermarket where they play the songs.
Uh-huh.
Like, no, I could not do Christmas songs anymore.
The same, like, 12 songs on repeat for about 2 months.
Literally.
And yeah, you just want to stab someone.
Mm-hmm.
We always had, like, kind of cover versions as well in one of the stores that I worked at. Like, one wasn't too bad because it was contemporary Christmas songs, so it'd be like what was released that year, so there was a lot of like Sia and like slightly more contemporary stuff. But an old department store that I used to work in, shout out to VHS, sadly no longer with us, that would just play like Bublé covers.
Oh, I hate him.
Yeah, literally.
Never ending.
But
never ending.
There is a great life of him with Thalia, you know, the Mexican singer.
Okay.
And they're singing Feliz Navidad.
Well, I was just about to say that's my favorite. Feliz Navidad. I've done it at karaoke.
Have you?
Really? Yeah.
It was like maybe June, July, winter in Australia. At a karaoke bar in Brisbane. Brisbane. Bris Vegas. Shout out. So what's everyone's favorite memory of Christmas?
So my favorite memory, I must have been about, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years old. And my mum was like quite a traditionalist, so she wouldn't put up the tree until like Christmas Eve. Like it was like a Christmas Eve tradition. Yeah, she left it really late. And I remember when I was like 4 or 5, I came downstairs and my mum had left like little glitter footprints in the carpet.
Aww.
To say that that's like where the elves had been to like put all the presents down, and like all the decorations were up. And yeah, it was just like, oh, so magical, especially at that age. Like I just loved it.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah,
that's sweet. Polly, yours, did you have Christmas growing up?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we did. Thank you for the question. I think maybe my favorite memory was, I don't know, maybe I was 6 or 7. And one time my cousin acted like Santa. So I was like 6 or 7, you know, and I saw him and I just remember still like he was all in red with this fake beard. He seemed like quite appropriately dressed, you know, to be Santa. That's how I remember him. But then like some years ago I saw photos and he was with a random red jacket. You know. Like with random red trousers, like nothing special, you know. He was just red with a fake white beard. And that was his Santa.
But he sold it to
I remember as a child I was so impressed, but now looking at the photos I'm like, so what the sweet. Fuck, this looks like
red pants.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, mine is so every year for the past maybe 5 or so years, there's this neighborhood near where I live that has like a random section of quiet, bougie, big mansion type houses. And there's this roundabout situated in between 4 particularly large residencies. And me and 2 friends of mine drive around that roundabout for the whole song of Feliz Navidad with the windows down, singing it out loud. That's my favorite part of Christmas. It's like Feliz Navidad. We're just going round and round. And it's like about 9 or 10 PM at night. That's like bedtime for Australians. So it's like the road's like empty and it's just us blaring Feliz Navidad and singing at the top of our lungs.
Have you ever had anyone shout abuse at you?
Not really, but I think if we did, we'd just drive away.
But why Feliz Navidad? I don't get it.
I think it's the best Christmas song.
Okay.
I'll be honest, it was only like 5 years ago that I even realized it was a Christmas song.
Yeah, see? No. See? See?
Like, I'd heard it plenty of times, but I did not associate it with
Christmas. Which I think is probably the key to being a good Christmas song. Like, not realizing you're that annoying Christmas song.
Yeah.
What's everyone's favorite Christmas movie?
Not have one.
Mine is Muppet Christmas Carol, hands down. I have to watch it every single year, like it's the law.
Oh, this with the Muppets?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. No, I just realized. Yeah, I also love it. Yeah.
It's the best Christmas film / possibly best film of all time. Like,
do you remember?
Amazing.
There was also a movie about Scrooge, right?
Yeah.
Is it related to Christmas somehow? Because now I remember some childhood memories watching such a movie.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a million versions of It's a Christmas Story.
Oh, okay.
It's a Dickens.
Okay.
But yeah, there are, yeah, there's like the Scrooged one with Bill Murray, which is kind of like the TV exec or movie exec or whatever he is. Like, he's all down on Christmas and thinks that it's a load of bull, a bit like someone in this room. And then he has a change of heart because he is touched by the Christmas spirit of giving. And
guys, you do realize it's like a capitalist ploy. I'm yeah, not a Grinch.
But, you know, it's coming from a good place.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough, yep.
Okay, sounds basic. Home Alone is quite good.
Yeah.
I remember trying to imitate Home Alone at home. Like, I was trying to set traps for my parents, but they never worked out. Yeah, and then also, there was a really nice Schwarzenegger movie.
Oh, yes, Jingle All the Way. Is that Jingle All the Way?
Where he had to buy a toy for his child.
Yes, yeah.
And Die Hard.
Yeah. Which for a long time I denied that that was a Christmas movie, but I've come around.
Yeah, same, yeah. Anyways, why Christmas is capitalist?
Isn't it a Hallmark holiday? Well, I'm sorry. What percentage of people who celebrate Christmas are religious, firstly? Secondly, it's all about spending and buying presents. Do you really need to invest money in the act of giving? Not really. But we're all pressured to buy presents for everyone.
I would argue that its roots go back to before the beginning of Christianity, though. So that would kind of say that it doesn't really matter whether you're religious or not, where back in feudalism, the master, the, you know, lord of the manor would pay for all of the peasants to have a nice feast for that one day. And yeah, it was like a day where everyone was expected to kind of be on equal footing.
So they struggle 364 days during the year exactly. For just a special day where they would be
so
treated.
So it was like for the slave owner to properly feel good about himself.
And I think that's where the spirit of giving comes from, because that's not really, I mean, what does that have to do with the Bible? Oh, I guess the frankincense and myrrh and that kind of thing. But
well, yeah, like what is the story of Christmas if we're gonna look at it from like a historical perspective, because I feel like that's become a bit clouded within society today.
Yeah.
Can we get a rundown of that?
Yeah. So obviously everyone knows the story of Jesus being born in the manger on Christmas Day, because his family had to go to Bethlehem from Nazareth for some kind of census thing where you had to go back to your hometown, which historically has been proven to be didn't exist, or if it did, he wouldn't have had to do that, but we'll come back to that. So Bethlehem, and there's no room at the inn. They ask around. She's super pregnant with God's baby, not with her husband's baby, but with God's baby, because that's a thing. And then she has to give birth somewhere. They have to sleep somewhere, and they end up in this stable, in this Yeah, and so they just have a manger, which is like the trough where the animals eat their food. And so the baby's born and they put it in the manger. And then the wise men come and give them gifts. And then the shepherds come and like pay tribute because there's a star that guides everyone there. And it's the Christ child of God. Everyone's happy. Angels sing. Interestingly, only two of the Gospels actually mention his birth at all. And only one of them mentions the kings and the other one mentions the shepherds. So the story that we have today is a bit of a mishmash of what everyone was saying at the time. And also the dates are all over the place. Mm-hmm. So the story that we have with King Herod going after the newborn babies because he hears a prophecy that one of them is going to be the savior of the Jews. I can't even remember what it is, but it was something like that. Like Herod comes along and kills all the babies. But Herod dies in 4 BCE. So 4 years before supposedly Jesus was born. And then the census that made Joseph go back to Bethlehem wasn't until 6 CE. So there's a 10-year gap there between those two events happening. So there's no way that they happened in the same year. It's just all been kind of retrofitted into the Christian story just to make it a bit more juicy, a bit more believable, nice. I guess. So yeah, and Jesus probably wasn't even born in December. There are theories that he was born in either spring or in September. So yeah, there's some inconsistency, we can say that much.
So basically like the 25th is fake news in terms of what it's meant to
Christianity symbolize. Yes, but it was an important date for other reasons. So in Rome, there was Saturnalia, which was a festival dedicated to Saturn. That was on the 17th, so not the 25th. But there was a whole month of festivities, a great festival of food and drink, where people would swap roles. So it would be like servant and master would swap roles for the day, which is, again, where that idea of like giving to the poor would come from. Because for that day, the poor person got to be the master, got to be like head of the house and get to eat at the feast and all of that kind of thing. And so your social status would equal or swap for the day. Then we also have Mithras's birthday on the 25th of December. So he was a Persian deity that was associated with Zoroastrianism. And there was a sun festival for like the coming back of the sun. And shepherds came to worship at the birth of Mithras. So that kind of ties with the story that we have in the Gospels, all kind of it's coming together.
I see that.
And seeing as they were already doing this big celebration on the 25th, it made sense, especially when the Roman Empire converted to Christianity, it made sense for them to be like, oh, well, we already have this big festival. This is now the Christ Child Festival. This is now Christmas.
That makes so much sense.
Wow.
Yeah.
So much sense.
Some historians dispute it, but it makes sense, doesn't it? Like,
totally.
If that was going on anyway, if there's already a big celebration mm-hmm. day and they needed to celebrate, you mm-hmm. know, Christianity, maybe they tried it for a while because Christmas in Christianity wasn't actually celebrated for like the first 200 years at least after Christ was born for Christians. It was only when it became a big part of the Roman Empire that Christmas was settled on this day and became such a big festival.
And that makes so much sense because one of the ways Christianity was able to triumph over paganism was by taking pagan traditions exactly. and morphing them into a very purposefully appropriate Christian form.
Yes. And then as the Roman Empire was expanding across Northern Europe, they also celebrated Yule at the same time. That had been, you know, an ongoing pagan festival up in the northern, you know, areas of Europe where it's a lot colder. And they would have the Yule log. So they would go out and chop down the largest tree that they could find for the Yule log and then put that over the fire. And then that fire with that large log should keep burning for 12 days, which is where we get the 12 days of Christmas. Yeah.
Oh.
So yeah, it all kind of comes together as the Roman Empire expands and Christianity spreads through the empire, we get all of these different traditions from across the empire that become part of the same festival.
Did you know that Christmas trees are actually ancient Egyptian and Roman?
Oh, do tell.
They decorated evergreen trees during the winter solstice to signify that spring would return, which is heavily linked to like the pagan.
I did hear that it started off with evergreens and also that they would hang apples on there because obviously apples are harvested in the autumn and they're big and red and shiny. And so our baubles today come from that tradition of hanging apples on the trees.
Guys, the ancient world is so relevant. Don't tell me it's not relevant in society. It is.
And then again, with Christianity, they associated that with the Garden of Eden. So the apples being hung on the tree would be the apples of the Garden of Eden. And so again, it all kind of became part of the same festival. The traditions carried on. They were just reinterpreted for a Christian audience.
And in paganism, the Saturnalia festival, that was the liveliest event of the year.
Yeah.
Which also like translates across, because wouldn't you say Christmas is like maybe the biggest event of the Western world, at least?
Definitely.
Like, yeah, well, these days, but back then, much like it is still in Greece today, Easter was a much bigger deal.
Yes.
But again, I think that's because Easter was properly Christian, like genuinely Christian.
I mean, also for the Eastern Orthodox, Easter is bigger than Christmas in general.
Yeah, which is, that's why I'm a Grinch. I prefer Easter, TBH.
Oh, another reason that they linked Christianity to, or Christ's birth, to the 25th of December was that later on, like hundreds of years later, when Christian scholars were kind of backdating the religion, as it were, after Rome had kind of become completely Christianized, they deciphered that the 25th of March was the day that they felt was the accurate date that Easter fell on for Jesus's death. And so they calculated, because they loved symmetry in their calendars, they calculated that he must have been conceived on the 25th of March as well. And so 9 months after that, you get Christmas Day on the 25th of December. So that's the way that they'd like calculated it for their science, that he was conceived and died on the exact same day.
Wow, that's weird.
As you do, yeah.
Yeah.
But Easter moves, right? The date of Easter changes each year.
It does, yeah, which again kind of fucks things up. But the original, the OG Easter, 25th March, and then OG Christmas had to be 25th December to counteract it.
Okay, then.
Yeah. But just with other kind of iconography that's been taken from paganism through to today, holly is obviously like on all the Christmas cards and on your wreaths that you're hanging on your doors and all of that stuff. But in Christianity, they associated that with the crown of Jesus as he was on the cross. And therefore, that was the thorny crown of the like spikes on the holly, and the red berries were the blood. And so, yeah, it all has like Christian symbolism, but it's been taken from like older pagan roots.
I see.
So yeah, actually, if you go to like a soup kitchen today and give to the poor on Christmas, that's probably like your most genuine Christmas that you could have, because it should have been like the people who were more well off giving back to the poor on that day, rather than just giving presents to like your nieces and nephews or whatever
after abusing them.
Exactly. Yeah. The rest of the year, they can have a shit time, but Christmas Day.
Speaking about inequality and the oppression of the working class. Yeah, the question of Nikki whether I had Christmas in Bulgaria doesn't come by any chance. I've also been asked, by the way, when I went to study my bachelor degree in the Netherlands, you know how you have these introduction weeks? And on the first lunch with my new class, a Dutch guy asked me, do you have pizza in Bulgaria? This is 2011. And I'm like, and since then, I'm not surprised by any question whether in my country we celebrate or have something or...
God, yeah. I'm sorry.
But yeah, my parents didn't have Christmas. They didn't have that because of Comrade Lenin and Stalin and their ideology, because, yeah, communists didn't like religion. Basically, my parents started celebrating Christmas in 1990. after communism fell down in 1989. And then next year, the Bulgarian government selected Christmas as a bank holiday in the country. So people started celebrating it. So you can imagine my dad was 30 years of age when he started celebrating Christmas.
Yeah, they've never had it as
for
children.
The first time. For the first time.
They knew about Christmas, but for example, only a few people, let's say in villages or families which were like very religious, were celebrating Christmas. The average person was not celebrating it. Like Christmas was a working day.
Was it like underground?
Yeah.
Underground Christmas
celebration. Yeah, basically. But we had an equivalent of Santa Claus, which was Ded Moroz or Grandpa Frost.
Grandpa Frost.
Yeah, which is basically the same, but this guy's coming on 31st of December, so on New Year's Eve. Okay. He comes and he again gives presents and etc.
But so Christmas Day itself, no presents, no Grandpa Frosty.
No. It's just a regular day in your calendar. Impressive, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, Christmas was banned in England for a good few years, but that was back in like the 1640s.
I don't think this could have been done in 19th or 20th century because Coca-Cola wasn't gonna like that. So to bring back the connection between capitalism and Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm sure if we say Christmas to 10 people, 7 out of 10, the first three things they will think about, one of them is the image that we have of Santa Claus from the Coca-Cola commercials.
Yeah.
Well, they made the latest and most long-standing image of him.
Yeah.
It's because of Coca-Cola that we have that image.
Yeah.
Holidays are coming. Holidays are coming.
He was like meant to be like an actual saint, Saint Nicholas. I don't know, you probably heard him be called that before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who was around in the 4th century and he was a Christian bishop. So, okay, that's authentic. But yeah, this kind of chubby, beardy, grandpa-looking dude in a red suit is pretty much just Coca-Cola marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think he was associated with, like, children and, like, helping people and giving to people. Because I did read about one story where there were these three girls who were daughters of this poor man, and he couldn't afford dowries for them, so they were going to have to go into prostitution. And so every night he came along and he secretly gave them each a bag of gold as their dowry so that they didn't have to go into prostitution. So he...
Yeah. Where did you read that?
It's Saint Nicholas.
Yeah.
Really?
He's actually like a good saint, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean prostitution and it's a bit weird. I was like, is this in the Bible? Like, don't care, like
Well, I think the Bible actually says it's like servitude.
Okay, yeah, probably they mean prostitution.
Saved from servitude, but we all know what that means.
But he was the patron saint of both children and prostitutes and sailors, randomly. But, you know, he seems like a decent saint. He wasn't murdering people. He was helping. He was giving. And he was actually from the kind of Byzantine Empire, wasn't he? He was from Myra in Asia Minor, current Turkey. And yeah, so he gave his wealth to the poor, secret gifts, all that kind of thing. So you can see where the Santa Claus myth kind of came from. And it was actually the Dutch that really popularized it. And then took it to America, where it kind of became the Santa Claus that it is today. Sinterklaas is...
Sinterklaas.
That's the Dutch name for Saint Nicholas. And then obviously in America, he became the big, fat, jolly white man. And he became used in marketing and...
Yeah.
The rest is history.
The rest is history, indeed.
Yeah. I have a fun fact about Christmas.
Oh, go ahead.
A historical fact.
Do
you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. So during World War II, you know, the gift of giving from the Allied troops, US, UK, all that, they would send like gift packs or like some sort of packs to the soldiers fighting on the front, especially those soldiers who had become prisoners of war. Mm. So the Red Cross was still able to get aid and gifts through to them. And basically, a US playing card company teamed up with the British and American intelligence agencies and created a pack of cards that, when wet, they peeled apart and revealed secret escape maps so prisoners of wars could navigate their way back to the Allies.
Is that true?
Yes, it's true.
Sure. Sounds a bit fake news.
No, it's true.
I mean, prisoners of war to receive packages?
No, yeah. Well, no, because it was normal to get packages, and it was also really normal for soldiers to have playing cards. So when German soldiers were like, who were in charge of these prisoners, would see them playing with cards, it wouldn't tweak their ears because they would always play cards. So it never aroused any sort of suspicion. And basically they would reveal parts of a map, and when you put it together, put the whole map together. And it said that some prisoners of wars and lost soldiers managed to find their way back to safety from these cards.
Oh,
wow.
I read multiple sources on it.
Yeah.
No, that's a good story. And there was the good old football match. In the First World War, on the first year of fighting, so 1914, and everyone was in the trenches and they'd been promised that they'd be home by Christmas. And of course, no one was home by Christmas because it went on for years. Both sides of the English and the Germans in the trenches, they downed their weapons for the day and they met in the middle of no man's land and they had a football match.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. See, like, how much Christmas is a thing.
Yeah.
Like,
they all sang Silent Night as well. Like,
oh,
the German version and the English version. But it all goes the same.
I'm going to cry.
You do like Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't we just do that in the rest of the 364 days of the year?
Yeah, that's okay.
Why do you have to do it only one day?
Okay, well, I think that brings a draw to our Christmas episode. We hope you guys liked it. We hope it gave you some context in this silly Christmas season.
I hope you have a nice time with your family.
Yeah.
Enjoy watching stupid shows on TV. Because that's the
Christmas
only
Carol. Yeah. Because it's the law. Oh, and Wallace and Gromit. Sorry, you have to watch that at Christmas too.
Yeah.
That's the only time of the year where it is okay to watch TLC all day long.
Yeah, enjoy the days off work, the Christmas holidays, if you have them.
Yeah. Some people have to work them. Yeah. So
hopefully you get double pay.
Yeah.
More money if you're working on them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. Have a lovely holidays and we'll see you in the new year.
We will. And remember, if you want to reach out to us, we're at Museums Mojitos on Instagram and Twitter, and at the podcast's full name on Facebook.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Why ho 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 sounds to me like ho ho ho? Like, is it just me? But okay, anyway. Bye.